Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Amen. Please be seated in a moment. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let me bring you a word of comfort this morning. Tell your neighbor, don't be discouraged. Come on, look to your neighbor again and say, don't be discouraged. Amen. Now, can I speak in my office as a prophet this morning? Are you sure? I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I think because I can see what is about to happen, God will have me prepare you on how to handle complex structures and complex schedules, because you're about to get busy. Okay, you guys. Okay. You guys. So I'm going to have to prepare you, because some of you, the things you are having in your hands is about to become an institution. You don't believe. I shared with you, speaking of my brothers, my friends in Brazil, we're having a video call. Went on an apostolic tour. And we're just gisting and gisting. Then he said, wait a minute. You were with us in Enugu. And you said this will happen. I've even forgotten. And what happened was that after the door of nations just opened. Hey, I need you to believe me. Is that okay? The least amongst us will be as strong as David. Do you believe? Are you sure? All right. So, most times, if you want to know what God is saying, check the direction of the series we are handling. It's always in line with. It is either confirming it or preparing people for it. Are you with me now? Now let me take you to a scripture this morning, Matthew 25. Follow me, please. Don't be left behind. Is that okay? Matthew chapter number 25. I really wished you guys believed that statement I said. I really wished. Honestly. I really wished. I just look. You know, when word comes at the point that, let me give you an instance. So maybe you've not seen yourself beyond just that one room apartment. Like, listen. The proof that you have a future is that there are words sent ahead of you. That's the proof. Are you with me? Myself and my spiritual father were comparing notes recently and talking about what God has said. Prophecies about the nation. You know, every election, they always call me and say, hey, what's God saying?
So one time he called me and he said, "Hey, what's God saying?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "Because my emotions are involved, so I don't know. I now have a candidate." I said, "So it's a difficult twist for me. So I don't know. But based on the word that has gone ahead of Nigeria, inauguration has not happened until it has happened. That's just it." Okay? So are you saying it's not going to? I'm not saying so. I'm saying, okay, when it happens, then okay, we know where we go. But it has not happened until it has. Because nothing secures the future of a nation like the word that has gone ahead. Nothing. Do you have prophecy notes?
Yes, sir.
Do you have notes containing what God says?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Let's leave it. Hey. Let me repeat it again. You are going to have to learn how to manage complex structures and schedules.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You are going to have to learn it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are about to get busier. That's what I'm saying. You are about to. And it must not meet you unprepared. I don't care what you are seeing now. I don't care what you think is the result. So some of you might have to take some management courses. So you won't flop. I'm telling you ahead. You guys don't seem to believe what I'm saying. Because by the time different doors open at once, I will say, "I warned you now." Do you think, can't you smell it?
Yes, sir.
I smell it,
sir. If what I'm saying is an info, then it's not for you. If it's a confirmation, it's yours. Because prophecy is an aftermath of what the Holy Ghost is witnessing to.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
These things are not to psych people and make you feel excited and all that. You're about to get busy and it's about to mess you up. So I say, prepare. Okay. Sit down. Sit down. Okay, I think you're faith. You have faith. I think I'm beginning to think, okay, maybe they believe. Matthew 25, please. And by the way, help me celebrate our resident pastor. Matthew 25 from verse 14. It's quite a popular story that you are familiar with. But I want to draw out a lesson of kingdom service from this place. And I'm going to teach you some very important principles. Is that okay? Is that clear? If we are able to climb this frequency, then Tuesday, yes, it will be easy for me to continue from here. There's somewhere I need us to climb. Once we climb that place, I'll be excited. So Matthew 25 from verse 14 says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called a servant and delivered unto them his goods. So you know, so he gave to one 5 talents, he gave to another 2 talents, another 5. And what are the proportion? 2 and then 1. And when it came, the one who had received 5 had traded with it. It became 10. You know the story? The one who had 2 had how many now? 4. But the one who had 1. So let's go to verse 24. Matthew 25, verse 24.
Then he, which had received one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew thee that you are a hard man. Reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went to heed thy talent in the earth. Lo, there was that is which is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Then you ought to have put my money with exchangers. And when I come, I will have received, right, there should have been increase on it. That's what he's trying to say. Anyways, this is a principle. Those who are business owners, there's a lot of principle there. That anything you have, you'll be wicked to put it somewhere. To think towards increase. But I think most times when this scripture is taught, it is not taught in the light of what it is. It is not taught in the light of the dimension of stewardship. We look at talent. Talent is not gift. That's not the use of that word talent there. It's not your abilities. It's literal. The use of that word there is money. The reason why that guy said he's wicked, and he feels the master is very wicked and wants to reap where he did not sow. The reason why that guy said that is because he did not see the blessing of God in his life. Maybe he's living in the same street with the one who has 5 and 2 and has felt the master is so good to them. And he must have looked at his life and said, no. This one that I'm seeing, is this what the blessing of God is? Then he said, the master is it. So be careful not to zero what God has blessed you with, no matter how little it is. Is that okay? Be very careful. I remember one season in my life, I think I was preparing for service, or 2 years before service. And something happened. Everything went down. Then one day I had to cook rice. And for, I'm not sure I've lived in the north. For those of us who have lived in the north, let me see your hands. So wave your hands. There's something they call garo garo. Do you know that stuff? So amazing. You know, some things, it's good when you take them for fun, not like compulsively. You know what I'm saying? Say, I like Gary, but you just take it for fun. Once it becomes your only option, it becomes issues. True? So I remember that idea. That you can put oil, put pepper, grinded pepper, salt, put oil on top, and stir. Say, we have the deal. When I have to be subjected to that condition, then it occurred to me, I've not been grateful. Most people only acknowledge what they have when it's small. I say, But the moment it's big, they'll say, oh, great, I deserve it. I've worked so well. Amen. There is nothing that we have that we have not received. Come on, say it again. Say it again. Say it one more time. One more time. Nothing that we have that we have not received. So, now this scripture here, follow me, illustrate dimension of God's blessings. And also illustrate stewardship. Because kingdom service is stewardship. Kingdom service is you serving with what God has given you. Amen. I'm seeing a situation. I don't know whether online or on site. So let me focus on online. You can, the fellow can hear me.
And before I say what I'm about to say, I have warned a few times and people got into trouble. Okay? Let me give you an instance. One Saturday morning, I went on the prayer walk. So I called one of my spiritual sons. I said, oh boy, where are you there? You know, I can call. Now, you don't get to see my call always. My call is one of those calls that when you see, you say, what have I done? I know people say things like that, so I'm used to it. So I called him. Where are you there? He said, I said, tell me now, where are you? He said, I said, let's leave that. The Lord wants me to ask you a question. And the question is, when was the last time you kissed a girl? So, where I am, I can't talk. I said, mention the time. If you have never before, just say, I've never. Nobody knows what we are talking about. He tries to dribble. I said, I give you time now. If I call this call, you won't hear from me again. So he said, actually, so and so person came. Run for your life. Alright? The girl got pregnant the following month for someone else. Now, it could have been the baby daddy. But God exposed him. Exposed the situation. I'm seeing a strange lady around someone. And the person is about to be messed up. Let's assume God did not say it. But if truly God has called me, what I'm telling you is true. There's an organized strange girl. God is trying to rescue you. Strengthen your feet so what is lame will not become dissolute. You know, I would not like to say what I want. Okay. Let's leave that and focus on Sunday teaching. I'm tempted to call the girl's name. So it can be clear. Let me share a story with you. 2011. I was preaching somewhere. And the Lord spoke to me that there's a guy here who had an affair with a girl, so-and-so date, so-and-so time, so-and-so state, so-and-so name of hotel. How clearer can it be? Come out. You know this, you say come out. Now you say sit down where you are, but take the phone. But the guy did not come out. So I went further and said, for a fact, this is what you are. Let me not mention. Wearing. He didn't come out. So after the meeting, I said, let's assume God didn't tell me. So after the meeting, people were gathering around me, praying for them. Then he ran out. And he was crying. And he said, sir, everything you said is me. It's me, sir. Look at the color of my boxer as you said it. I said, why didn't you come out? Unfortunately, he died. One of the things God does with the prophetic is to rescue. I can go on and on with stories of just simple service like this, and a word will come. Stop that chat now. Block that number now. And go on a retreat. You see, I'm not asking the person to see me, just in case the fellow is shy. So, what is stewardship? What does it mean to be a steward? It means to manage. It means to take care, to tend on behalf of a real owner. That's what it means. The word stewardship suggests that there's no ownership. So, here is the deal. Psalms 24 from verse 1 says that the earth is the Lord's, and what? The fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has found upon the seas and established upon the waters. So the idea is this. We must come to a point of understanding that there is nothing that we are done with, no matter whether material or spiritual, that is our own. There's nothing. What we have is the privilege of being managers. Both of our gifts. Both of children. And that's why you see some parents get into trouble. Some parents fall into trouble big time. Because they give birth to children that belongs to God. Children are God's heritage. And here is the call of God upon the child. And you hear the father say, if I give birth to you. No. You've been given the privilege. And how do you parent successfully? Thank God this children's weekend. You find out what is in the mind of God concerning them. By prophecy. I saw my daughter in 2012. So when my wife was going for ultrasound scan to go and check what was the sex of the child, I didn't go. Normally I'd follow her there. Don't think I was not following her. Though sometimes I did not follow her. She was women. But she's my pastor. What can I say? I had to close the official duty for the year. Don't let me go into that story. I'm telling you so that man to man. Before you think that you have married a wife that is Kana. Even Pastor Mimi. That's why I don't used to look at that side though, because so you don't understand. Are you following what I'm saying? I did not go. He's a girl. God showed me. This is what the child will be. So, I have no will. My will has been usurped by the will of God. Are you following what I'm saying there? So, stewardship. This is the idea of stewardship. To be a steward is to manage and use in line with the purpose of the original giver. Even in marriage, you are not the owner of your spouse. Hey, I know you don't like that. Some of you have saved the name with mine. What are you mining? My own. My one and only. Now. Some names are insults. How do you call somebody your one and only? Where is God? Where are we in that equation? We are not part of your... Praise God. Amen. I don't own my wife. I can't. Are you feeling what I'm saying? I can't. Sometimes I want her attention, but she's busy doing the stuff that she has to do. She has to make out time. Sometimes I am busy. I just went on a 6-week trip. If there's ownership, I can't. True? There would have been chaos. If truly we are married and we are together in this marriage, I forbid all those programs you are doing. I'm your wife. You have to return now. In the name of Jesus. It's a very simple and powerful concept, because nothing truly thrives until you acknowledge the giver. Nothing fulfills its potential until you acknowledge the giver and tap into the mind of the giver to know what he wants done with it. He gave those giftings, the graces, the abilities. And we must understand that. And submit ourselves to him in the same order. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? Let me give a critical example of stewardship. Look at when Jesus was preaching to over 5,000 people. All right? 5,000. Over 5,000. 5,000 men. Now, it's difficult to gather 5,000 men. You would have gathered 100,000 women before you can gather 5,000 men. My wife has spoken to me several times. Let's, can't you have a personal platform for these men? I said, I can't. I said, I can't. God hasn't told me in recent times I will have to manage a dick. Men! Fear will not fear men. Fear will not fear men. The last time I ever tried to organize a program for men only, you were in that program. It was Love and Peace. That's 2013 or 2012. You know what happened? Guest minister came. There was no single human being on ground. A church of over 250 guys. No, you know, the mistake the organizers made was that they now fixed a football match for after the session. The few guys that came with some dirty trousers and boots and ball. That's why I would say, please just sit down. Okay. So in case you don't know, that conversation is ongoing, but man, it's a tough thing. It's a tough thing. Well, let's see whether there will be a pull. Praise God. There's a lot we can discuss. True? Men's corner is a very rich corner. You need to be in that space. So I hope that by the Spirit, we're going to get this going. See, they are not even saying yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? 99.99% of marriage books are bought by women. I've never seen a man who is actively preparing for marriage. Somehow he believes that he knows it. And he gets there and fumble. You will never see a man read book on how to know women. They don't read it. The only time they read it is when there's problem. Now say, okay, let me even try and see it. So in case you are facing that challenge, I'm telling you it is real. Even when we are going to get married, and my wife said that, we should read the following books. Where she lost me was when she said following. So I now said that, no, let's study the New Testament instead. So the first to finish will buy the other person's shoe. So I did that one. Sometimes I still chop stone. You know what stone? You don't know stone. That's why I say there's a need for men's corner. Marriage is like a father rice. No matter how much you pick them, you go still chop stone. You don't understand? You go chop stone. Sometimes I chop stone and I'm like, it's true. I don't really know my wife like I should. I now sit down alone and say, maybe I should have read that book she gave me. Maybe I should have. But that's the way we are wired. We just feel we know it. We just feel, you know, for a man, actually, for a man, it's almost insulting that a fellow man will write a book. A man like myself, now say I should begin to read. Now, it's even worse when it's now the babe, now say, read it. You know, say, do you like him? Let me share one. Somebody had to tell my wife to stop listening to. Let me share one. When we got married, every morning, my wife will play Ima, oh my God. A man like me. I would rather enter the studio. How will we play? Every time she always say, I like Ima, oh my God. Don't mention that name in this house. I'm not saying I was joking. I was very serious. Now, I'm telling you, in case you hear this thing, it's not my own problem. It's your wife hearing me. So, I said, don't play that song. I said the sound is hurting me. So stop playing him out, my God, in this. I'm telling you, somehow I was able to stop her from. I will be playing my fellow man. I will enter studio. What is this singing that I can't sing? Max, it won't sell. What's there? Praise God. I'm just being real. Just being real. Some people may not tell you like this, but I'm telling you, man. It was a matter. I said, stop hearing him. Oh my God, in this. Oh my God, okay. What's that? All right. But what I'm trying to show you is that for Jesus to gather 5,000 men, that's ministry. Excluding women and children. 5,000 men. How many of you have been able to successfully drag a man to a conference? The only time you can is when he's still asking you out. That's the only time. I remember I followed a girl to Catholic. I just went there, sanctimonious, Holy Mary, you know. I was perplexed. What brought me here? Caspian brought me. And how did we start? She said, I like your writing. I look at her and it was bad. I said, I like it too. Then we're just talking. Then she said she had to leave. It was getting interesting. Let me escort you. How many of you know Kano? To trek from Emir Road to Our Lady of Fatima. It's like, okay, you know, okay. It's like trekking, it's more than from here to Jabi. Just trekking and gisting. That's the only time you could get a man to do that kind of work. But once he gets what he wants, he say, go now, what's your problem? Even me, my wife has not been able to get me to do visitation. I don't go out. Let's go and visit so and so auntie. How? When we get there, they serve us drink. Then we'll be talking. I'll be looking. After that, I'll start pinching you that we have to go. Then you wait some 30 more minutes. But women don't leave in a hurry during visitation. Women, they don't leave in a hurry. They will still chill and say, just a few minutes now. Just. But when I was trying to get my wife, I would drive from Ibadan to Bongo. Say, it's far. Say, it's not far. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. No, we are there. But Jesus gathering 5,000 men is something. It's something. But they were going to be stranded. Except that there was a boy there who understood stewardship. If that guy had claimed ownership of his food, it will never become a tool like that. Someone whose name, whose existence you never remembered. Do you know that those who live for themselves, nobody remembers their existence? The only reason we talk about the guy today was because he gave back. That's the only reason. He could not have been the only one who had. Among 5,000 people. He could not have been. Some families would have sent their children. In fact, some mothers would have been sending their children, go and buy victory. You know how mothers behave? Do you know how mothers behave? Mothers will even pack bread on flight and smuggle it. I say, oh yeah. Bless God for women. But that guy understood that it is one thing to have, is another thing to acknowledge the purpose of it. Any giftings you keep to yourself doesn't bless the world. And it doesn't make you special. Nothing is truly important until it flows out. Nothing. So the smallest way to live is to live thinking about yourself alone. Yourself, your belly, your stomach.
your life and all that. Planning, how do I? Now, the reason why you are blessed by any minister you are blessed by is because their life has been poured out as an offering. Has been poured out. I tell people, see, I said, the truth is, I knew I wanted to serve God, but not to this extent. And if there's anything I know how to do, I know how to make money. Because sometimes, when God began to speak to me, that I'm going to leave everything and then focus on ministry. Sometimes I'll cry. I'll say, what's this? Let me live my life like every other person. Let me do my life like every other person. That fellow is also a pastor. Why are you not stopping him? But the purpose is different. Those two dark years of my life are the ones illuminating the rest. So first, you must acknowledge God as the giver. List all aspects of your life. From your health. Now, many of you are not grateful for your health. Do you know how much it takes to be on oxygen for an hour? This breath you are breathing now. Do you know the horror? And that's why when people get healed and from breast lump, people are not celebrating, I just laugh. Do you know the kind of scans women have to, and men have to go through by going through those scans, the things you are hearing? Even your health, you are supposed to be a good steward with it. And one of the ways to be a good steward to your health is to live in such a way you won't die young. Because you are needed alive. And I think I need to teach a topic like that. Don't die. Sometimes you see the way men drive. You can tell that they feel they are in charge. Many of my friends, I can't enter their car. I can't. If I enter their car, I have to hold window. Say, you see the fear. Hey. One time during NYC, they said we are going to mountaineering. I said, I don't go close. Say, you are going to climb mountain and all that. You see other couples like yourself. I said, I am not going. Somebody even advised me once. I said, to say, go to Dubai. And then there's all these games, you parachute. Para what? Me. Parachute. You know, my mind is too graphical. What if a blade fly and enter this stuff? What if? I remember greenhouse effect. What if oxygen, hydrogen combined with nitrogen and oxygen and they begin to give acidic rain? What if? I know they do. I know the prayer will pray for village people to go and sleep. Don't wake them. That's on the lighter note though. But people take their life like they're in charge. They do risky stuff. And many don't appreciate God in their life. One of the ways that you are not a good steward of your health is to despise God in days of your youth. Because you won't be this strong for life. And that's why Ecclesiastes says, remember your creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days have not come. You know, when I look back at my life, one of the joy I have is that I maximize my single days. Yes. That's one of the joy I have. There are many things I don't have the luxury of doing. Again. Because marriage, it's three of you in it. Yourself, your spouse, and God. But I bless God that I quickly locked many things down. As a single person. The books you are not reading now, you won't have the time to read them. The prayer stretch you are not having, you won't have that time.
When I first got married, I told my wife, I said, you know, well, this is the life I've been living as a single person. I'm a very solitary person. Most times I like to spend time alone for hours. And that's why I get to receive many of the things I do and plan and hear from God and pray to God. First week of marriage, I said, I'm going to enter the prayer room. Just 3 hours, I'm done. Just 3 hours. After 25 minutes, I will hear, co. Babe, just want to greet you. Are you still there? If any of the guys had tried this, the person is going to fast for 3 days. But this one can't fast. You can't say go and fast. You know, I'll be inside. I'll say, then I will lose my peace after an hour plus. How am I losing my peace? What's happening? Why am I? Let me go and check this woman. Then I open the door. I'll meet her lying down at the door. No wonder I lost my peace. But thank God, certain structures have been built before marriage. I'm not saying marriage is a distraction. Get what I'm saying? Don't go and say, so obviously thank God. That's why I don't want to marry. It's a lie. Stop that. Don't think like that. Is that okay? Don't say thank God. I'm 1,000 times better married than when I was single. There's just something that happens when you. True? So you must understand that. But you must understand that the time you have now, you won't always have it. I remember one time, year 2009 or so, we gathered ourselves, about 22 individuals, and said we're going to go 3 days stretch of prayer. And here is the deal. The moment you get tired and you see that you are fainting, leave. Okay? That's 72 hours. If we had done 100, we too would have. But that's the lighter note. All right? So it was 3 days stretch. You know, the way you start that kind of prayer, with excitement. They just be looking at you. Now you go tired. 3 solid days. Morning, afternoon, night. Stretch. You start excited. Then later you become humble. Then you move to confusion. Why did we even start this? Who asked us to do it? Who asked us? Then you move into inquiry. Should we change the terms? Should we change the terms? Then you move into sadness. Is this what I'll be doing in my life? Who sent me this? Who? Then you start seeing a ray of hope. Then finally joy. Unspeakable. An unbelievable level of strength. Unbelievable. I remember I was preaching when my wife got into labor. Though I had to finish my sermon, but not the same man who started and finished. A single person. What concern me with somebody in labor? Except I'll pray, yes. So, but now I have to. Say, I can't cancel today. See you guys later. Bye-bye. Next time. Guys, drive. Let's go. You won't always have this time. But may you have stewarded this moment well. Amen. Say that amen again loud and clear. Amen. I said, may you have stewarded this moment well. Amen. May you have used it like the owner wants you to use it. Amen. Are you aware that anything that is not well managed, God collects? Steward your life well. You can't live your life for watching series. It can't be. You were created for much more. You've not been created for yourself. Say it, I don't belong to myself. Come on, say it again. Say it again loud and clear. Come on, say it again one more time. I belong to God. Now, let me read a few things I wrote here. Kingdom service is stewardship. It is first and foremost a devotion to God before it is a devotion to any assignment. Stewardship is done correctly to the degree that you are devoted to God. And I highlighted something here. Listen to what I'm saying. Every one of us, look up everybody. Every one of us must have something counting to our account. One day we are all going to stand face to face with Jesus. And it will not be about how much you have. It will not be about what kind of house you built. It will be about what you did for the kingdom. One day, bless God for blessings and, oh, God is opening this door. But all those things won't count. What will count is what your life has done to the kingdom. The impact. What did God benefit from your existence? That's what will count. Meaning that your life must structure now in such a way that God can have benefit from you. Are you with me? God can have what? Benefit from your life. You can't be sleeping and waking up. And just sleeping and waking up. How many souls have you won? Many of you used to have fantastic plans that God bless you. You have orphanage homes you are partnering with, but now you are forgotten. You used to be very merciful until money came. Are you following what I'm saying here? Something must count to your account. Something must. I remember, let me share something with something as little as what I want to share. We have a Baba, we call him Baba Missions. That's my first pastor when I joined with him. He made me a pastor. First service, first time we met. First service I joined the church. He said, this is the man that's going to replace me here. First service. I ran away. Alright? Now hear what I'm saying. The man was walking in shell. Now one day he was in his car driving back from work. And he heard a preacher preaching by the roadside. And the only thing he kept hearing the preacher saying, is tomorrow may be too late, tomorrow may be too late. So he told the driver, park. And he went, he was smoking. He said then he was about 56 or thereabout. Then he went to where the man was preaching. And he saw people there around him crying. Ah. And he said he could not tell a force that pulled him towards the man. And he knelt down, still with his cigarette in his hand, and he dropped it. And that's how he gave his life to Christ. By someone who was preaching by the roadside. Now, that fellow preaching by the roadside, hear what I'm about to tell you now. Because you may feel preaching by the roadside is not fashionable. There's no way I would be in ministry today if that man was not saved. Because that's the man that God used to identify and groom me. But a day came, so he became a pastor. And according to the policy of the church, he had to resign when he clocked 70. And he said, they have resigned me, but I'm not tired. He said, because I began late. When you have the privilege of beginning early, don't begin late. So he said, he's going to go into missions. So he went into missions, sold his house, sold the car, all right, and went into the village. No, he went there, yeah, when he was close to 70. I think he was resigned at 65. On his 70th birthday, I minister on his 70th birthday. A clock 70 in year 2011. That's 12 years ago. He's an old man. So I was the one in charge of helping to organize the gifts they brought and all that. One of the things I observed was that the highest envelope there was 5K. And we had senior pastors who came. But I didn't know it would touch him. After the whole event, the devil came to minister to him. That you must be a fool. Look at those who call your pastors. See, as they are enjoying in the city. You sold your house. You came to the village. How are you better than your fathers? So when Elijah said, I'm not better than my fathers, you must understand where it's coming from. How are you better than your fathers? You are back to square one. You are not a missionary, you are a poor man. Who sent you among those church members now? All those you have raised, where are they? And he got into depression. And he packed his bag early in the morning. Before 5 a.m. Before that time, this man was sleeping only in one place. He was sleeping in his car. He slept in his car for about 4 years. With his wife. There are generals whose stories are not told yet. So he packed his things. And he said, it's done. And I was going to leave the village quietly. Then while he finished packing and just leaned on his car in depression, a message came in from a girl on OAU campus. The girl probably was having a devotion that morning and God just inspired her. Message him. And she just wrote there, thank you so much for all you do, Daddy. Only God can reward you for us. We are grateful for the gift of you. That was it. Then the Holy Ghost highlighted that place. Only God can reward you for us. He broke down in tears. And that's how he continued. What that girl used to send that message was 4 naira. But it had done a stewardship work. And it has saved a generation. Many of you miss out on divine privileges because you didn't believe it was God. Or sometimes you have built culture of saying no to God. Text so-and-so people. Check up on so-and-so person. Collect so-and-so account number. Send money to so-and-so person. Do not think I have too much. Mm-mm. The one who knows the heart of man said, do it. We'll cover a lot of grounds when we begin to obey the Holy Ghost. We'll cover grounds. But it begins with acknowledgement that there is nothing I have that I've not received. I remember I was in a meeting here in Abuja. Can't remember that last year or so. One of my friends. Oh, and they were so blessed. And he said, we're going to do this for the first time. Project Apostle's account on the screen. We are not giving offering and tithe. Everything sent to his account. I had zero feeling. Zero feeling. There's no amount of money anybody can give me that can change my mood. Because somebody still have to decide how they go. Until he now says, okay, that plan you have, you can use it. Oh, thank you. But I must be able to say thank you to when he says, use it for that project. Now, you didn't believe that. Building a life of absolute accountability to God. So I sat down there. You can send anything you want to send from now till tomorrow. Somebody decides. Somebody makes decision here. And I'm not a victim for submitting. I'm not. Because that's what the media tries to tell you. That you must be a fool for submitting to God. Meanwhile, those who are telling you that you must be a fool. There is one girl up in the head somewhere and collecting hundreds of thousands. And he won't believe he's a fool. And when they are done doing all those things, they now come online and say, what's tithe? How do you Christians go and give 10% to a pastor? Who told his pastor that he's eating tithe? And give 10% to a pastor. A pastor. Then by the time you too, who has that heart? Now read it. Now say it's true. It's true. You forget that when you give 10% of 100,000, that's just 10,000. And you have 90. And for years, men have been looking for scriptures to justify how to stop. But you don't want God to stop blessing, but you want to stop the little you do for his kingdom. And by the way, tithing is not giving, it's a commandment. Giving really begins after you have done those ones. So many believe that once we have done tithe and offering, my obligation to church is finished. That's not true. You are just starting. Even Muslims too, go and check their morning prayers. They give. And that's what the media tries to tell you. Hey, say it again, I'm not a fool for submitting to God. Say it again loud and clear. Say it loud and clear. I'm not a fool. Whatever that is brought to his altar, that's when he truly lives. He doesn't die. That it will tell you, I'm about to use it for certain things. That's when your life really begins. I heard the story of Pastor here, David, who said he wanted to become the youngest VC in Africa. Who broke that record? We don't know. Who became the youngest VC? Hey, the only thing that we remember is that part that blesses humanity. It doesn't matter how great the ambition is. It doesn't matter who break any record. In a matter of time, they'll forget after another record is broken. That's the truth. Everyone you will read of. In fact, if anybody ever inspire you, it's because they live for more than themselves. Are you with me now? I said, are you with me? Now, we are climbing somewhere and I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Now, look at it. You cannot serve God or you cannot serve in your local assembly successfully without a good relationship with God. You can't. You can't. In fact, you will not even know you should serve. And that's why I began what I began with. That the place of real making is stewardship. The place where men are made is service. That's where something rubs on men. Many of the things we are doing in Sphere of Light today is because I had the privilege of serving another ministry. Hey, I gave all my life to it. Everything that makes me, give myself. Listen to what I'm saying. Hear me well. And I want everyone that is on my voice, whether online or on site, hear this. You cannot carry the fullness of God and survive idleness. Write it down. You can't carry his fullness. Now, I'm going to help us break certain things. Now, many believers are not interested in being idle. Some are shy. Let me give you this illustration. Let's assume I take my family and we go to my father's house for Christmas. And when we got to the house, see people be killing goats and doing all sorts of things. Different people. And then my siblings also, everybody doing different things. And I'll say, well, they are all busy. I'm sorry, I don't even know how to come in. Hey, this is my father's house. I have legitimacy to enter anywhere. True? It is only the auditorium and the people that is new. The God there is not new. Anywhere you find people calling his name in truthfulness and sincerity, serve. Serve with your giftings. Your ministry starts counting when service begins. That's it. In fact, the word ministry itself is the word diaconia. That means service. The sum total of ministry is not about the kind of jeep I ride or the kind of suit I wear. Mm-mm. It's, am I serving humanity? Whose life is better because I'm existing? And you must answer that question. Who is that one fellow that is grateful to God because you are alive? And we saw the story of that widow that died. And they went to call Peter. The women around would not let her go. They said, so I brought this girl. Say, see. She made this girl for me. She made this girl for me. I said, we can't let someone like this go. Who is praying you should not go? Or if anything happens to you today, you are actually not filling any gap. And nobody will even know someone left except those who just have natural relationships with you. Will humanity feel it? Do you get what I'm saying? There are only ambitions to nurse. And how you are going to be more blessing to humanity as God increases you. And you must prove to him that you will stay by it. And this is even boils down to the issue of families. If you want to see people that are treated bad, go and check families. Now, if you know family members you are, you can't call them now and say, I'm broke. Everybody have ready made story. I remember one time I was so broke. And I was going to call one of my aunties. And I already rehearsed what she would say. And true to it, he said it. That, you see, I just paid my daughter's school fees. My Binu, so sorry. You see. Then I called another of my aunties. And she said, come over. Then she said, let's get to the market. Somebody is owing me. And she got there. She had three people owing her. She had worked so hard. And she was going to collect that money for me. And we got there. The first person played her. Another person said she doesn't have yet. That one even just ghosted her and disappeared. And where she was standing, she bursted into tears. You got what happened? And she was looking at me and was wailing. I said, if you know who this guy's father is, you won't treat me like this. And people say, what happened? I said, he needs to pay up for some things and other. How much? I'm telling you my life story. And people in the market began to contribute money. And she lay her wrapper on the ground. I looked at her. What made me cry that day was the way she sat down. She couldn't wait. Just anything, let this boy go. And I said, God, as long as you bless me, there is nothing this woman wants that I have that she'll have to cry for you about. My wife knows. She doesn't, she called me and said, I don't want to disturb you. I say, you can't disturb me in this life. You can never disturb me. What do you want? If I don't have, I'll get for you. There's a level of commitment that makes humanity committed to you in return. Was it a coincidence when Abraham put Isaac down? God said, now I know you fear me. I swear. I've never heard God say it. In blessing, I'll bless you. Abraham was sealed. We all have the opportunity to touch the heart of God. We all do. Are you with me? Are you with me? You can't serve more than you love God. You can't. Your service posture is a reflection of your love work. Your service posture is a reflection of your love work. The posture you take is what gives you away. Show how you love God or not. Service is first and foremost unto God. The moment you fail to realize whose service is unto, you'll be trying to please men and you'll miss God. So, God is the ultimate supervisor of what we do. The church may award you for what you have failed about. At the end of the day, the one who really marks is who? God. I'm not going to have written an exam and your mate asks you. I was like, say, forget it. Forget it. Oh boy, forget it. A, sure. And by the time they bring the result, D. Ah. Say me. Ow. You are not the marker. You have your own yardstick. True? And the marker is his own yardstick. The one who scores us at the end of the day is who? God. And he has his own yardstick. And one of the major yardsticks for which God scores us is that works that is not done in love doesn't count. Yes. Kingdom service is not rated by barter. It's a love affair. It's a love affair. I intercede on the go. And so because I obey and respond to God in that regard, so cases are always brought. That person is suffering. I remember one time I was driving around Oshodi. Was I even driving? And a guy passed with, whether the wife or the fiance, but you can tell that they were in love. But the way a car almost hit them, I was surprised that I began to cry that God, please give them a car. I didn't have a car at that point. I began to cry that God, please. And I prayed in such a way I knew it, that they would get it. Can I ever meet them again? Can I recognize them? It's unto God. Anytime you have to say that I did this, I did that, I did that. If you can count it, it won't count. It's unto God. And we need to bring back this foundation, these fundamentals. At the judgment seat of Christ, there's something called good works. And there's something called dead works. Both of them are works. And if both of them are working, both of them takes labor and takes effort. Both good works and dead works are works. Well, one is done without love. The other is done with love. If I want to give my offering and tithe, I do it as one in love. Not by compulsion. The proportion I know I can do is out of love. And when it is out of love, it is out of sacrifice. Because there's no love without sacrifice. True? And that's why I'm not quick. I'm not quick to record sacrifice. I don't know how to do it. I'm not quick to do so. In fact, I have maybe a few things in my life I can call sacrifice. Because I feel sacrifice is quickly determined to the degree that there's no love. Are you with me? How many of you watch this movie, The Train, by Monzan? Let me see your answer. The Train by Monzan. All right. If those of you who didn't watch it, you are going to have a watch party. You will watch it. You will watch it. All right. Now hear me. How many of you saw when that guy went to meet the mother-in-law and began to pound yam? You can't get a man to pound normally like that. Unless Jesus has worked on the man. My wife calls me, come and pound. What will God say I've done wrong? Not because I'm too big to pound, but with all the things at my hands, in my hands. But this day me busy like this. Pursuing her, go to the house, I will pound. Say, Apostle, you are a busy person. I'm not busy. Bring the... Meanwhile, that doesn't mean when a man thinks like that, he's no longer in love. It's the way the brain of a man works. When he gets something done, he's next. He will pay any price to get that thing, but he's moved to what? Next. So a woman will say that the man doesn't love her because he's not saying, I love you. But for the man, as long as I have not said, I don't love you, I still do. That one, keep cashing out of it. In fact, maybe I'm going to give us a strategy. Men's corner. Then I'm going to give us a testimony. You're going to tell your wife, I'm going to record it on my phone. I love you. Record it there. Anytime you need it, play it. You are clapping. Odo. But that's the way man is wired. Amen. How many of us are in love with God? It's a real walk. It's a real love journey. And just like every other love affair, he's going to test you, check you out. He will. And there are times that, do you know, there are times that, I mean, if you pray, you should experience this. That you just hear the Holy Spirit saying, give me one extra hour now. And it sounds so romantic. It sounds so romantic. Like, okay, don't talk about one more now, 1 hour. Ah. And you are so excited. Yeah, let's go. You are happy. And sometimes it's not even that you are praying in tongues and just sitting still and enjoying the atmosphere. When it is love affair with God, nobody can pull you out of it. Nobody can. And that's where we are going. That sweeping is not a less prestigious job to preaching. There's nothing I can't do. There's nothing. Say, I can wash toilet. I'm very good at it. That was my department. I know different formulas. How to use hydrogen peroxide and all that. You use it. I had to bleach it. You bring down from chemistry. You import it here. It will work. True? So this preaching thing, if Jesus comes today and say for the next 2 months you are not preaching, I'm okay by it. Because my identity is not in this. It's in service to him. And that's where we must have our identity from. We must be willing to go dirty for his assignment. There used to be days that some things were common, but now they are no longer common. Morning cry, evangelism and all those things no longer common. The people are getting more touche. And people just assume that they will do it on Twitter. Just assume that they will do it on Twitter. Let me ask you a question. How many souls have counted to your account in 2023? No, you must have a record. Hey, because we all have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know that if you can write and you can read, there's nothing stopping you from writing a tract? There's nothing stopping you. You can write a tract and print 1,000 copies. You may get anybody to help you proofread and be sure that it's accurate. Tracts are very simple. It's basic gospel. Our man fell. The love God asked for man from the beginning. Our man fell. Our man couldn't save himself. Our God came to save man. The person of Jesus Christ. Just basic things. And you go to places and give them. And tell the person Jesus loves you. May you never get to that point where you become too fine for Jesus' use. Amen. Say that amen again loud and clear. Amen. May what he blessed you with never take you from him. In the name of Jesus. Now let me begin to climb now. I have less than 10 minutes to tie this up. Let me give you a few importance of service. Number one, God visits men in the place of service. God visits men in the place of service. Are you with me? God visits men in the place of service. Where did God find Moses? Where was Sally? His father-in-law. That's where God found him. That was he. That's where God found him. Sometimes it's even when you are doing what doesn't belong to you that God now commits yours to your hands. God locates men. Where was David when Samuel was trying to anoint king? He was in the field. He was in the field. What was he doing in the field? Keeping his father's sheep. And I've said this again and again. God doesn't make kings on bed. He makes them in the field. You say, I don't know what my ministry is. Hey, there's one that is general. Ministry of Reconciliation. We all have that one. Start from there. And that's why you see, no matter the pressure and all that, morning prayer, I can't forget altar call. That's what counts. And I observe that when we have Holy Ghost meeting, the altar call is made. The power of God is released. And that's why I don't pray for the sick until after altar call. Once there's altar call, that soul gives so much joy in heaven. The fragrance of healing bursts out. What I'm saying is that by now you should start losing your peace by being convenient. Woe to them who are in Zion. There's too much work. God needs sons. And sometimes, you know, see, I go and listen to my teaching, Apostles in Marketplace. It is not every business person who is a Christian, who is an apostle in Marketplace. The body many started business with, they lost it. Because money must meet structures on ground. It can change you. Hey, money must meet structures. Structure of decisiveness. Firm decision. Because money can help you afford what poverty can afford. So some level of discipline is not because a man is disciplined, it's because he's broke. Now you can just drive out and say, let's go to Metama. You drive and say, go to Metama. And a friend suggests, I say, see some girls who is away by the roadside. You say, how you there? Say, I just want to just to laugh. I said this way with you that myself and some friend, we went to on the island, Lagos, have a retreat to vacation. One said, let's go to, let's say, we went out. It was supposed to be a night time out to eat. Then we were driving. He said, let's pass that area. Unfortunately for me, I was not the one on the steering, but I was the one in front. He was the one driving, if I catch him. He said, some guests say, let's just pass there. Say, oh, my apostle is. I said, guys, don't try this nonsense. He said, apostle, don't worry. Hey. And he went there. See, young girls. Hey, Alpha, and they collect 50K. I get POS. The girls began to mention what they can do, and they were just laughing. And now these are born again boys. I mean, they are amazing boys in their field, born again, and they are all blessed. One of them is controlling a very big thing for one of the banks in Nigeria. Very powerful position. When we go back home, the one that said, let's go there, I called him. I said, come. No matter how much, whether we are friends, I'm a bond to all of you, so follow me. I said, I observed when we drove there that you have the tendency for adultery. I said, I observed. If you can park where girls are doing hookup, it's a tendency. Meanwhile, that tendency won't show up when you don't have a car. Will you take bike to Metama and say, hello, young lady, come here? But you must prove to God. That is, as God bless you, listen to what I'm saying. This is where I'm going to. This is the mountain I want to climb. And I'm just a statement. As God bless you, your concentration must increase. Okay. You want to write that down. Your concentration must increase. I'm giving you this, and this is a very simple. There's no principle I'm teaching you I'm not living with. I wanted to say a statement, but let me say it. But you, it may not, I'm not telling you this so you can do it. Okay? I'm not saying this so you can do it. One of the things I do I'm not. Let me see. I'm saying this and God see my heart just for the sake of preaching, not to show off. One of the things I do is that my personal offering is the equivalent of my salary. So I can live on the blessing of the Lord. And even my salary, I don't touch a cobble in it. So the other ones I have, I give the equivalence. I spread it throughout the month. I don't get stranded. You may say, well, it's easy for apostles because, you know, many people know you and all. But that's the truth. One of the things I noticed that began to happen as I increased that concern, because what that did is that I saw that, hey, as God is taking one higher, different blessings are coming. You can lose it. The only way for me not to is to increase the outflow so I can be the same person. But hear this. One of the things I noticed that began to happen was that people begin to receive instruction from different nations. You are to be committed to him monthly. So I have loads of messages I've not replied. Someone said, Apostle, God laid in my heart to begin to do your account number. Account number is one thing I barely reply with. Go and meet so and so person, they'll give you. Except maybe those I know. And I know. As God lifts you, increase your consecration. Increase your prayer hour. Because now you can afford many things. In the days that there's no AC, and you have to use hand fan, you have to pray. But now there's air condition. From the room to the office to the sitting room to your car. So once you eat your bed, you sleep. But in those days, you could study for one more hour. So it means to survive the promised land, you will need the scars of the wilderness. That's the way to survive. I notice because, see, I share my story a lot because I'm very honest, and I don't want. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So people can learn. I don't like to present myself as a hero or something. No. But I can tell you something for free. There's no man who is committed to God's own that God won't be committed to. See, listen to what I'm saying. The breakdown of your consecration begins with you forgetting to give your tithe. Because the moment you cannot overcome mammon, many other things will overcome. The acid test of love for God is mammon. That's litmus test. That's the basic mammon. 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 When this thing switches to a love affair, I'm telling you, you will discover that there are many entitlements you are the one who has not been enjoying. You can't be committed. God won't owe any man anything. He won't. As God lifts you, your consecration must increase. Some of us will have to move beyond 10% as tithe. And that's the truth. You just notice that you lost your peace. God is the one who is saying, come up higher. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not going to have given tithe before. And you gave your tithe well and that's it. And you lost your peace. No, sir. What's happening? God is saying, by this time, I expect you to know you should do more. And that's why you see that whenever there's project in church, I will not just say give. I will say come and join. If I can see number of those that will join me. Because I notice it's easy for pastors not to be giving. Very easy. They'll just bring up in basket. One pastor just, Kalabatua, Kayavadia. See, pastor is busy, he's praying. You know, a lot of people that it's easy for them not to give. The keyboardist and the drummer. Of it, give to God, he will reward you. After a few, we give you praise, There's no joy. We all must what? Learn to float. Praise God, hallelujah. And this is a word of God to someone. Still worship. I don't own myself. I belong to God. And he has a plan and purpose that my life must flow out to meet. How did David get recognized in Israel? Stewardship. He was just tired of that guy shouting, wanted to take care of the problem. Anytime you see a problem and fail to solve, you have not been a good steward. It's about solving problems. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. God is going to use all of you. Say that amen again loud and clear. Hey, I say God is going to use you. And let me wrap up with this statement. When God started telling me, I want to use you for this and all that, many of those I was envying that they've left me behind, I now later learned that actually the secret of speed is the hand of God. Nobody's leaving anybody behind. The day that hand comes, you will outrun. Never you get down because you feel people have left you behind. All you need is the hand of God. That's all you need. There's that song by P. Daniel. Can we erase that sound? Get up on your feet, everybody. That song means the hand of God is upon my life. It's helping me to fly. It's helping me to run. Hurry, quickly. Look up, everyone. Look up. Hey, there are things that God is set to release, but He wants you to manage them. And I'm seeing a connection now between that teaching and the word I received in the morning. God knows that anything that can sit in His seat can destroy the person. Never allow it. The way I live is that I owe it to God and to His purpose in my life to prove a point that nothing you've given to me has changed me. So sometimes I meet old friends and I'm like, you are still the same person. Like, I won't change. Last year or so, was it last year? I had to go and function one of my friends on campus as his best man in his wedding. It was the most inconvenient season. We had to travel to one village. If I went the villagers heard that Apostle Lazarus is around, they went together and said, it's not possible. That wedding there, that small wedding, where will you come from? I was there. The pamphlet they used as the roof and all that, I was there. For my friend, yes. But much more, for the progress of gospel in my life, I am still that guy you found. I'm still that guy. Because I noticed in ministry, in your friends who are up there, say, come and be serious, it's a privilege. But those ones who are trusting God, you say, ah, no, I'm busy now. I'll just send money. Mm-mm. I went there. It was so not convenient. I remember, where did I even say? Well, there was no room. Why am somebody's parlor like that? And I said, talk. I will do all these things, but there's something I don't compromise. That's my health. So permit me to just book a place. Anyone wants to join can join. Till date, when I go to see my dad, till date, I go to the market myself. Till next year. It doesn't matter the height God takes me to the covenant. He likes fresh fish. I'll go there and buy it. And I come back and make it for him. It's my own venison. And I pick it. So no matter the number of washing machines, I wash them with my hand. The last time we went to the market together. It's a culture. It's a culture. I have a few protocols in place to keep my heart in check. Just to, man, this heart, sometimes I can miss it. Just to keep it in check. Just a few here and there. Are you following what I'm saying? You owe it to God. That point you must prove it. That I have not changed. I'm the guy you found. Because God should never have to remind you of how he got you. The day God reminds you of how he found you, that something is bad already. Are you following what I'm saying? My father would tell me, he said, I get many contractors because of you. He said, many people will call and say, you are his father. I say, yes. He said, they'll come and gather around where he works. I said, just put us through to your son. He said, now they commit money, millions in my hand. He said, if you are his father, though, you can't misuse our money. When we are ready for the project, we'll do it. But when I get there, hey, I go to the market myself. I drop my things, what I bought, and go to the market, buy the stuff in his own market there, come back. This heart needs to be preserved. I still have a relationship from secondary school and all that. It doesn't matter how anybody is doing. Hey. Because you can lose it all. Set structures in place to help you retain this heart. It's going to help you. It also includes structure of prayer and fasting. It's going to help you. Because you get to a point where the supernatural becomes automated. Prayer or not. So now you have to have a structure. People who don't pray now and say they'll pray, they will never pray later. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Are you with me? So, I believe that God is using this topic to prepare us for what is coming. Sir, that's the secret. You know, let me share this with you. You know, recently I found out. I have privilege of being close to some of these men. Just privilege of access. And if there's any father in the body of Christ in Nigeria I don't have direct contact to, and I'm speaking with his peer. And we're in a conversation. I won't mention. One of the guys said to me, he said, do you know that the Anglican church Baba was attending while he was a child? Right now, he's the one who is paying all the salaries of those in the Anglican church. I said, that's the structure. When Pahes Yelton was going to die, and God spoke to Pastor here at the way, it was Pastor. See, let me go into stories. As at that point, in 1987 or thereabout, Pahes had entered a dimension where the prophecies was given were offending many. Many were offended at him. But God spoke to Pastor here at the way. That man, I'm going to call him also. It was Baba who sent money down to Elisha that he bought a glass casket. It was the one who was there at the last moment. And that's a covenant. It's a covenant of longevity. Same as Bishop Oyedepo. You will hear the secret of men is in their stories. When Archbishop died, it was Bishop that took over the whole salaries. About 5 years or there, about 3 years. Bishop Adelakun clocked 60 yesterday. He shared this story with us. He said, "Ah, Bishop Benson, that also called you. I said, David, wherever you are now, report to Benin." And he went there. Because I saw that recently on social media, we were speaking against spiritual fathering. There's an apostolic template. I don't want to go there. And when he got to Benin, he met Bishop Oyedepo on his knees. That bishop was rebuking him. Do you know what that means? He met a Bishop Oyedepo on his knees. What will you do? You will stay there and cross your leg. You run away. So he wanted to, Nimbo. That bishop said, David, sit down there. He wanted him to see the humility of Bishop. And when he was done rebuking, Bishop proceeded and thanked him and then went to the dining to eat. It's a custom. You must eat. Because you can move from the level of not having food stuff to now. You have to be, food has to be cooked around the clock because now you are praying for nations. Then by the time Abishaw was not Bishop Oyedepo, you know what Abishaw told him? Abishaw said, "Come here." This was, let me mention here. He said, "You see, David, he's going far. Follow him. Follow him." That was all Abishaw said to him. When he shared that story, it's a heart posture. I can tell you stories. Listen to what I'm saying. Recently, one of my spiritual daughters called me and said, "There's this father, there's a father in the body of Christ." She said, "Right now, they just rush him to our hospital." She said, "I'm the one taking care of him." I said, "Alright." I said, "Keep me updated. Every details." Then later that day, they came to me. What do you think I was going to do? I will let him pay. There are things you kid into. Last year, when we had International Ministers Conference, that we honored Baba, he didn't come physically. I've been at his house. Even that morning, I was at his house. We did not even know he was going to make it down back. The son called me. He said, when he got to the house, he wanted to start coming. And the boy said, no, we can put him, let's, we can connect with them online. How many of you saw that event? The mooch. I heard people say online, I said, what's all this? I didn't even watch it. You don't understand. Keep quiet. There's something called inheritance. You can't dig all wells yourself. You spend your life trying to dig one. But there are wells that already have water. We must find the wells our father's dug, drink it and be healed. But hey, for our heart's sake. How I shifted from being perpetually broke. The moment I entered that covenant of it can never finish. Let me tell you. I've never shared this anywhere before. The day I entered that covenant was my first time of meeting Apostle Selman. And I was in his room at his hotel room where he went to minister. And I just knelt down and said, "Sir, I have emptied my account and our ministry account." He prayed. I knew I had shifted. I'm not saying somebody will not go and empty. You know what I'm saying now? I'm talking about leading by of the Spirit. Meanwhile, those things are done too. I have another thing I do to check my heart. I call it the emptying and the refilling system. Just to be sure that my trust now is not in what I've gathered, but in the blessing of God. That's just for my heart. My own heart is unique. I don't know about you. Some of you don't, may not need all those things because, but I know where God took me from. And sometimes when you experience depravity so much, when money comes, you can indulge. Just one prayer, then our resident pastor comes up. Lord, help my heart. Give me the wisdom to preserve this heart for stewardship.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.